Well, I agree with my very good friend, Delegate McDermott, that votes aren't going to change. Many years ago, or several years ago, 10 years ago, I did support the death penalty. And over the years, as a practicing attorney and as a person, I really came to see that the potential and the reality of too many mistakes couldn't be ignored. When the Baltimore state's attorney was here, I asked him, would he support the death penalty if he thought that one innocent person would be convicted? He said he would not. And then, of course, he said that he didn't believe that it was possible for one innocent person to be convicted. A number of years ago, my wife grew up in Israel before she came to the United States, and when I went my first trip to Israel in 1972 to study at Hebrew University, I was impressed by the fact that despite the constant threat of terrorism and the reality of terrorism which exists to this day, Israel has abolished the death penalty. We quote from the Old Testament, which is not exactly a good description of where Israeli society is, in part, but the point is that Israel has lived with terrorism, lives with the reality, not simply the rhetoric of terrorism, and they have managed to find justice without even convicting the terrorists, people who come in during Passover and murder children, horrible as it is. I don't think Israel, you could demonstrate, is less safe or more safe because of what they've done, but I do think that they're more noble. And that they are a noble example, and one that we can emulate and not fear. And, you know, the other thing that I want to stress, you know, to my colleagues, because I do think it's, you know, there are a lot of merit on both sides, is the probability of a mistake. Now, you know, anybody who actually looks at how we amended the law knows, for example, that you can be found guilty and you could be subject to death penalty if you make a confession. I will remind you that false confessions are a reality, and only recently was a documentary issued on the so-called wilding, the young men who were arrested for the alleged rape of the jogger in Central Park. I recall that when I read the news reports, I thought it was bestial, it was horrible. I identified with the jogger, as most of us did. They made confessions, which were ultimately discovered to have been, shall we say, massaged out of them, and they were later exonerated by DNA evidence. Now, they were lucky that they got exonerated by DNA evidence, but I was convinced, as I'm sure everybody was, they were guilty. What if there had not been DNA evidence? Now, do we doubt how many people, innocent people, must have been sent to the death chamber across our country before DNA evidence? I mean, we've heard people here who were tried twice by the Baltimore County State's Attorney, found guilty twice, and he was a lucky, lucky fellow that somebody found that DNA evidence. There are false confessions. For me, it's a question of the fact that innocent people can get convicted. Life without parole is certainly not a walk in the park, and I believe, for me, in conclusion, and I say this with all respect to my friends who have expressed different opinions today, that the arithmetic of death today ensures that at some point one or more innocent people will be wrongfully subtracted from our society. That is what the issue is for me. It's not ideology. It's not even morality, since I don't find any problem putting to death someone who has committed the heinous types of acts. But I do find a problem in possibly or even probably putting to death an innocent person. And I just wanted to share my opinion with you, which is certainly not as a Democrat or a Republican or, you know, or a conservative or a liberal, but just someone who has struggled with the issue.